Rafe informed the board that afternoon at their regular meeting.
Lou Parmina is dead. He tried to attack me in the cell. A guard killed him. The death was reported to all the proper authorities. The family declined to receive the remains or hold a funeral. They asked that ISC dispose of them. He was cremated immediately.
About time, poisonous creature.
Václav Box had urged the need for Parmina's death more than once. Others nodded agreement. No one wanted to be seen as defending Parmina.
Next, the latest medical report on my father.
At first, they had demanded such reports almost daily. But lately, he had noticed more time between questions and less apparent interest.
His speech has improved, though slowly. His doctors, however, hold out no hope that he will be able to take up his duties as CEO, even part-time, within the next 4 months. And they do not think he will ever be able to use an internal implant.
Not even on the other side?
Apparently not. Because of the existing damage, they're concerned that any manipulation to create the pocket could cause seizures, or worse. An external device might be possible, but he had had a right-sided implant his whole life.
Rafe looked down for a moment, imagining what it must be like without an implant, without that reassuring presence.
We had all hoped, of course, that the neural regeneration would proceed more swiftly.
Then Rafe could have gotten back to his own life, though he had no idea what that life might be. Glances passed back and forth across the table. For a long moment, no one said anything.
About your father.
Yes?
You know I've talked to him. So have some of the others. I'm certainly aware he's not what he was. And for the most part, we don't want him back.
Box paused a moment, clearly trying to gauge Rafe's reaction. Rafe felt as if a load of rock had dropped on his head. He couldn't think of anything to say.
I'm one of his oldest friends. I still consider him a friend. But he got us into this whole mess. His judgment was faulty long before his injury. Or perhaps it had been tampered with. But that doesn't really matter.
You've canvassed the board?
Rafe looked around at them all.
Informally, yes.
You can't blame everything on him. It was Lou.
He was fooled by Parmina to the point of repudiating his own son. The policies he approved led directly to the mess we're in now. The erosion of our ability to protect our monopoly, the failure to gain control of new technology, the theft of our intellectual property. Parmina may have been the mastermind, but your father did not see the dangers.
Neither had the board. They had all been fooled just as much as Rafe's father. They'd never done anything more than nod yes and take their compensation.
Then, if you don't want my father, you won't want me.
Not at all, Rafe. You did see the problems. You've clarified them for all of us. You've started turning the corporation around. We need you, and we want you. Now, and for the foreseeable future. I don't believe, and I'm sure the board concurs, that there is anyone else who could possibly save as much of what we had.
The others nodded. The weight fell back on his shoulders. He wanted to yell at them, insist he was not the one for the job. But he knew. He knew he was.
The only problem is this thing with the Vada family and your relationship with them. On this, I stand with your father, and I think I speak for most of the board. There are reasons to be concerned. They are involved in too many of the things that have gone wrong, that have cost us.
You can't seriously believe that...
Rafe faced that double row of stony faces. They did believe it. He would have to change that. They would have to understand that their future lay with a Vata alliance. Stella Vata, acting CEO of Vata Transport, watched a crawler line move across the screen of her desk comp, silenced, as she liked it, and flicked for full download. The columns of figures she'd been working on faded. The screen showed a newsman from Central Cascadian News Service standing in front of another screen, which showed an explosion repeating over and over.
Just in. A vid apparently sent by Ansible to at least a dozen system governments. We're not sure of the source, but analysis suggests that it is, as it claims, an actual unedited vid. The person you will see identifies himself as Gamis Turek, and claims to represent a large force. I must warn you, this vid contains disturbing images and language, unsuitable for children. But we feel it is urgent.
Stella felt cold to her bones. Ganis Turek. The man Kai insisted had been connected to Osman Vada and the attack on their family. And behind the disruption of the Ansible network and the conquest of systems like Bissonnet and Polson. The screen changed, so the explosion filled it. This time it did not repeat, but changed to a man in a dark red and black uniform, standing against a background of a night sky, arms folded across his chest. He seemed tall, though without any background clues, it was impossible to say how tall. Dark-haired, dark-eyed, a strong-boned face that might have been attractive if not for the expression. He seemed to be looking through the camera, right into Stella's eyes. She felt exposed for a moment, even though she knew he could not possibly see her. He had to have personality mods to convey that much command presence in a recording.
You will all know my name. You will all fear my name. I am Ganis Turek. You must understand this. I can isolate your world at any moment. My fleets control the spaceways. My forces can disrupt Ansible communications whenever I wish. I have many allies. Their forces, too, are at my command. I have more ships than any system militia, and weapons that can turn your homeworlds into cinders. If you force me to use them against you, I will have no mercy. You and those you love, everything you have worked for will die in an instant. Here is one proof of it.
Now the scene showed an expansive office where well-dressed civilians, all clearly Humods, backed away from armed men wearing Turek's maroon and black colors.
They argued with my command.
The scene shifted to a brief battle between a rock-throwing mob and the soldiers.
They did not obey. That was Pulse. I own it now. I own its jump points. I own its Ansibles. Only my people live on the world once called Pulse. And it is not the only one.
The scene changed to a ruined city. Smoke rising from shattered buildings.
Here, someone killed one of my men. Just one. Hundreds died here. Maybe thousands. It doesn't matter to me. I do not tolerate disobedience.
The scene shifted again, this time to an image of an Ansible platform exploding. Then again to Turek, standing as before.
Do not make the mistake of thinking this is an idle boast, or that you can save yourselves by banding together. It is too late for that. My agents are everywhere. Those of you who conspire against me will regret it.
He smiled, a chilling smile that was at the same time alluring. Stella remembered from her brief bad affair what strings were being pulled here.
Remember my name. Expect me. I am coming.
The announcer reappeared.
We have no way of knowing whether this is some kind of scam or whether this person really exists and actually is behind the recent disturbing events we reported some time ago. The apparent overthrow of the governments of Bissonnet and Polson by a foreign force. But we felt this was important enough to bring to the public. We have already sent this vid to the Moscow Confederation Defense Department, who are now analyzing it further. We will keep you informed.
Stella tabbed back to the spreadsheet she'd been working on. Cascadia felt a lot less safe than it had a few minutes ago. She had been so sure that nothing would happen here until Kai reappeared, and then Kai would take care of it. Or someone would. And she could go on leading Vata Enterprises and Vata Transport. And there was nothing she could do, really. except make sure that new onboard Ansibles came off the production line as fast as possible. One production line might not be enough. She might as well work on costing a proposal. 10 minutes later, her implant scheduler reminded her that her ward, Toby, would be back soon from school. Foreign crisis or no foreign crisis, she could not put off any longer a serious talk about a purely personal matter.